Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
One of the things that I learned as a teacher was, in fact, there's very little to teach. As you know, that Zen is not something to think about or to believe in. It's something that's illusory, yet intrinsic to who we are. And Zen is a practice that, in a particular context, prefers questions as opposed to answers. Now, if you think about a question can open our mind to endless possibilities. Think about this, right? As soon as an answer appears, it creates a box, it creates a container, it eliminates everything else that's possible, that can contribute, that can respond. So it creates a limitation. So it's not like so many things in Zen, it's not one thing against another. It's just that conventionally, we're used to, when asked a question, immediately providing an answer. Zen offers another way to relate to a question. And sometimes these questions defy an answer in the typical sense. Now, koans express this quite frequently. So tell me, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Right. It's not so easy to put that into a box and hand it over and say, well, here's the answer. Mu is a famous koan. Does a dog have Buddha nature? And the teacher's response is mu. So you could ask another question. What is the color of mu? It's very difficult to confine these response, that it's very difficult to confine the question to a box, to a container that gets handed over as an answer. So how would you answer this question, right? I'm going to ask you, who is it that's listening to this talk? Lay it on me. Who is it that's listening to this talk? Now, you probably know from reading that there are certain ways that a teacher will respond. Who is it that's listening to this talk? Sometimes a teacher will hold up one finger. Who is it that's listening to the talk? Rilke wrote a poem entitled Living in the Questions. I would like to beg you to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Don't search for the answers which could not be given to you now because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the question now. Perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer. Three tenets of the Zen Peacemaker's Order is not knowing, bearing witness, and compassionate action. So, something needs to be done, right? There's a problem at home. And so we need to find an answer to what's going on. And if we look for an answer in the conventional sense, we're liable to do more harm than good. That's why in the Zen Peacemaker Order, we train ourselves to not know and to be present, to bear witness, to listen to the situation and not jump to a conclusion. The clearer we can be about a situation, not filled up with our answers, the more likely we're going to respond in harmony with it. And this way of relating to the world, to circumstances, is what develops naturally out of sitting. Now, the question is always, well, what happened is if the building is on fire? Am I supposed to sit around and bear witness to the fire? I'm not supposed to run in and save who's ever in the building? So what is the answer to that question? In Zen, we say when you attain enlightenment, throw it away. Because there's nothing to hold on to. Not even enlightenment. As soon as we think enlightenment is the answer, we have lost it. The process of not focusing on answers runs counter to everything that we have been taught. Somebody asks a question, how can you not answer it? We're deeply conditioned to find answers, to find solutions, to determine right from wrong, devoting ourselves to a practice that does not focus on answers is therefore very difficult. It seems counterintuitive. It's confusing. But the secret is, for a moment at least, the mind is still when confronted with who is it that is breathing right now. There's that moment before the mind gets activated and thinks about, you're in the Zendo and thinks about Carl is asking these questions and what does this all mean, right? Who is it that drinks a cup of tea before coming to the Zendo? Right before the mind tries to answer or come up with something, that's the place where there is no answer. So when we enter into the process of questioning, without being concerned about answers, we are allowing ourselves to become vulnerable, to having the rug pulled out from everything that is comfortable, secure, and familiar. Getting the answer makes us feel comfortable, reduces anxiety. But Zen is an opportunity to not answer. But it's asking us to do something that's way outside of our comfort zone. Something that makes us uncomfortable, insecure, unfamiliar. And when this happens, there is nothing in the usual sense to hold us up. All these answers that we use to keep us erect, to keep us steady. Instead, what happens in Zen is we fall down. Now, there's an old Christian story attributed to the Desert Fathers, which was they were early Christian hermits and ascetics. And the story is attributed to the Desert Fathers. And it touches on this vulnerability and the humanity of the experience that I'm talking about. In the story, a monk asked one of the fathers, "What am I to do since I have fallen?" And the father replied, "Get up." "I did get up, but I fell again," the monk said. "Get up again," said the father. "I did, but I must admit that I fell once again. So what should I do?" And the father answers, "Never fall down without getting up." And that's our practice. Over and over and over again, we fall down. But we develop the habit, the response of getting up. There's a famous Indian Zen master who many of you probably know. His name is Ndaruma, who was the first person to come from India and establish Zen in China. And he would often say, this is a famous saying in Zen, "Knock down 7 times, get up 8." That's a wonderful way to live in the world, to live our lives. Knock down 7 times, get up 8. So instability and vulnerability are what we let ourselves in for when we sit down on this cushion. And while it can be difficult, if not scary, experience, the end result can be freedom, which is freedom from the tyranny of our minds always seeking an answer. Sort of to another brief subject, but really connected. There is a teacher named Frank Ostaszewski. And he is an American Buddhist teacher and a leader in the end-of-life care, which is certainly a place that has no answers when we're coming to the end of our life. And so he is a guiding teacher and the founding director of the Zen Hospice Project in San Francisco. And he's really renowned for his work and the programs that he started. So I listened to this YouTube video, and the title of it is "Love is My Mentor." And it was a Dharma talk by Frank Ostaszewski. And this talk was incredibly moving. I can feel myself even getting emotional right now. But there was this one little part where he told a story about going with his daughter shopping in a used clothing store. And it's something that they enjoyed doing together. And so they were in the store shopping, and his daughter finds, I don't remember what it was, but a scarf, say. And she went to go over to look for a mirror to try it on and to see how it looked. And so while she was gone, Frank was looking around, and he came across a leather jacket. And the price was $10 as is. And it occurred to him, what wonderful advice, what wonderful loving advice that is. He thought, accepting each other as is. And how open-hearted that is. So, to me, it is so beautiful that I wanted to create a t-shirt that says, accept each other as is. So somehow to me, again, it doesn't have to be logical, I was touched by that, and somehow it relates to questions without answers. So I hope this was not too convoluted a talk, but anyway, thank you for listening.